Hour three continues. You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050. Victory Thursday for the Toronto Blue Jays. Pick up a big win yesterday afternoon. A surprising result against the Phillies team that had been utterly dominant of late. Aaron Nola on the hill for the Phillies, but Chris Bassitt gets it done. A great start for him. The big boys, Vladdy Jr., Bo Bichette, and George Springer all contribute. Setting the stage for the Minnesota Twins to come to town tomorrow after day off today for the Birds. Let's welcome in former Blue Jays GM and host of the Brushback with JP. It is JP Ricciardi back on First Up. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, thank you. So I'm very curious about your take on the pressures that Ross Atkins is facing, the general manager of the Jays, a role that you occupied at one time. A lot of people are very upset about the team's performance, and rightfully so, calling for changes. How do you, as a manager, try to maybe keep an even keel and not overreact to a really slow start to the season, or maybe an overreaction is appropriate?
Well, you know, what's going to happen if they get rid of Ross Atkins? Is it going to change what's happening on the field? So I think, you know, talking about getting rid of the GM is something maybe they should discuss in the off season. I think the biggest problem is just getting the offense going. And I think, you know, one of the problems with the Blue Jays offense is it's basically centered around two players. It's Bichette and Guerrero. And that team goes as they go. So Bo's going to be fine. He's going to come along. And I think Vlad will too. But it's pretty magnified right now because the rest of the lineup is not contributing as well. And it's not a deep lineup. If you look at the Braves, you look at the Phillies, you look at the Dodgers, they have a 1-7 that pretty much can carry the lineup if 2 and 3 are down. The Blue Jays don't have that. So it's been magnified with the two players who haven't really performed well yet. And I do think they are going to perform. But the question you have to ask yourself is how far can you let it go in the sense of making a trade or trying to add something, because the division can get away from you fast. So I don't think the GM is the problem in the sense right now, because I don't think you can actually solve a problem by getting rid of the GM. But in the offseason, that's going to depend on how the team plays.
And I'm glad you brought me there, JP, because the patience for this fan base is being tested, and being tested at a very, very, impatient way. And so when you see the team struggle as much as they are offensively, as a former GM, is there a timeline you give yourself as to how long you need to watch this before you actually think about making a move?
Well, I think you have to just keep your finger on the pulse. I mean, if you're playing like this in June, you're probably thinking about, okay, this might not be our year, and how do I salvage it? And it might be you trade one of those guys that you don't think you're going to be able to long-term. I mean, the assets they have are some of the pitching and obviously Bo and Vlad. And if you're not going to extend those guys long-term, then you might want to think about being proactive and trading them. If the pitching's the same thing. So they do have some assets that people would like, people would want, but that comes down to the organization, where they think they are, and if they're willing at that point to maybe raise the white flag and say, we got to prepare for next year. I don't think they're there yet. I think the All-Star break. But, you know, you look at Miami. Miami's already traded their best hitter, and San Diego's been pretty aggressive by going out and getting him. So there are some teams that are willing to deal. I just don't think the Blue Jays, being fair to their fan base at this time, are in that position.
JP Ricciardi, our guest, former Blue Jays GM, the host of the Brushback with JP. The Jays, a negative 44 run differential, that's second worst in the American League behind just the Chicago White Sox, 17-20. They're 7.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles for first in the AL East. A lot of people are clamoring for a change with the hitting coach, Guillermo Martinez, who's been around for a couple of years. In your experience, what would that do, if anything, to the approach of the plate for some of the Blue Jays hitters?
Well, I don't know the hitting coach, but I'm sure he's working his butt off, and it's probably driving him as nuts as everybody else. Having been around big league teams for a long time, I see how hard those coaches work, and I know that guy is probably not sleeping at night. So he's doing everything within his power. I don't really know what that would do outside of probably show the fan base that they're trying to do something. And it's hard to come in now and have a whole new philosophy to someone. You don't have that rapport with Vlad, with Bo, with all the other hitters. You don't know what they like to do. It's really, It's a little bit of a panic move, I think. The bottom line is Bo Bichette's a good player and Vlad Guerrero's a good player. You just got to ride it up with them because I just don't think right now anything drastic is going to get them going. You got almost it's got to let the time take its. You got to ride it out, in other words. And I think that's it's easier said than done because you don't want the division to get away from you. But let's face it, if Mookie Betts goes down, if Freddie Freeman goes down, if Schwarber goes down, if Harper goes down, none of these teams are built to carry a lineup without their major guys. And Blue Jays, it's magnified even more because the lineup is really centered around two guys in that deeper lineup. So you just got to grin and bear it. That's the way it is right now.
JP, in your experiences, have you ever found yourself dealing with a situation like the Blue Jays are with Alek Manoah where this guy was an ace stud pitcher and has completely lost his game in the last year and a bit? And I know they're trying to build him back up, and he got his first crack at the majors this season on the weekend. And, you know, he was pitching good. The offense was going. He had a chance to leave the game with a lead. They let him in there. They hung him out to dry. They let him leave the inning with a trailing instead of leading. And you wonder what that does for his confidence. Have you ever had a situation like this, and how would you handle trying to build that player back up?
Well, I think, you know, one of the problems in the big leagues is it's not a testing ground. You know, you're playing for results every night. And if you're going to do what they did with Manoah, my suggestion would be to get him out when he's feeling good so he can leave on a high note, because he wasn't actually dominating in the minor leagues before he came back up. So
right.
I thought it was a little bit of a panic move that they brought him up there trying to catch lightning in a bottle, but they did. And at that point, my suggestion to the manager would be, if he's going good, if we got three innings out of him, you know, in the fourth inning, you see he gets maybe the first guy's on, you got to be in a position to let him leave on a high note. But I think the Giants just did the same thing. They brought up Mason Black with a really good arm, but the Giants minor leaguers don't pitch more than four innings, and he pitched really well for four innings, and they decided to run him out for the fifth inning, something he hasn't done in the minor leagues, and he got, you know, totally pounded. And instead of leaving on a good note when his first major league start, he leaves on a negative note. And I think that's the one thing. You know, Manoah is like kid gloves right now. So any positive that you could have him walk off the mound feeling good about is something he can build off of. So I think that would have been the one suggestion I would have made to my manager, is make sure he walks off the mound feeling good if we're in that position.
JP, we did see Jackson Holliday, the Uber prospect, shortstop for second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, get called up in the early part of the season. He really struggled. He's back in AAA now. The Pittsburgh Pirates are calling up the top pitching prospect in Major League Baseball, and Paul Skeens, who is an absolute freak, throws like 101, a monster from LSU. What are you expecting to see from Skeens in the early part of his MLB career?
Skeens is going to be a star. I got to see him last year, LSU at Auburn. I think the one thing he's going to have to add to his repertoire, not so much add, but the one thing he's going to have to just get a different feel for and a different look to the hit is his changeup. It's a power fastball. It's a power breaking ball. He's a big guy. He's extremely strong. It's menacing. And he's going to do well. He is the best amateur pitcher I've seen in the last 10 years. Probably the last guy was Strasburg. So barring injury, this guy is going to win Cy Young and staying healthy. He's like Gerrit Cole. So he's going to hit the ground running. And Holliday's going to be a star. I think they brought him to the big leagues too soon. But he got a taste of it, and he'll be better for it. And, you know, so listen, sometimes you think you're ready for the big leagues, you know, but big leagues aren't ready for you, you know? And I think sometimes the young kids just, you know, the big leagues are tough, you know? It's not the little sisters of the poor league. So, but Skeens is going to hit the ground. I'll be shocked if he doesn't hit the ground running, but at some point he'll be a Cy Young Award winner.
JP, thank you so much for the time. Again, check out the Brushback with JP. Follow him on Twitter at Ricciardi JP. Thanks so much for the time again. We'd love to do this again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.